Can I ask you a question this morning? How much is a soul worth? I'm quite sure that you got neighbors, you got relatives who, as far as you know, they're lost on the way to hell. And I would ask you, if you look at them people, what's that soul worth? We have a tendency that we don't like to witness to people. I might say the wrong things. They might get mad at me. True? You ask yourself again, what is that soul worth? Isaiah 55 verse 11 says this, "So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God never broke a promise. What's that verse say? For every time you talk to your relative or your neighbor, pass out a Bible tract or whatever, God's going to take that and he's going to use it somehow or the other. We might not understand it, but he keeps his promise. Now, I don't do a very good job on that. You can ask my wife on that. You know, I make her lots of promises. She thought whenever she married me, she was going to marry a millionaire. I don't know where she got that idea, but she got the wrong idea on that. Dad, I'm still working on that. But I'm here this morning to not only talk about the Gideons, but to talk about you. You know, as we look at this, what is a soul worth? Who is the Gideons? Well, some people think that they're a bunch of old geezers, bald-headed and pot-bellied. Well, I got my hair. The pot-belly, we can argue on that a little bit there. I don't know what to do on that. But we are Association of Born-Again Christian Business and Professional Men. Since 1899, our purpose has been the same throughout the years, sharing the gospel throughout the world. The reason to win men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we're organized in about 200 countries, not too many to go. The Gideon got a vision that by the year 2020, that we're going to be in some way or the other in each one of these countries. So we are progressing. The Gideons is the only association that has grown every year. Sometimes the growth is small, but we've been never went backwards. We're always going forward. The reason is because of people like you. We are just an extension of the local church, that's all. We aren't some group set up by ourselves somewhere else. There are some fellows here I know are qualified to be Gideons, if I could ever talk them into it. I see one guy back there grinning from ear to ear. But we use the local churches because we are part of the local churches. Not only for our members, but for our finances, for our prayer. Everything we do, we depend or we are part of the local churches. If we didn't have that with the local churches, the Gideons would cease to exist. Thank goodness we haven't done that, and we keep going forward. We go, like I said, in about 200 countries. We publish scripture in almost, I think 98 there to languages as far as the whole Bible. We got some others who will give the Gospel of John and so forth and smaller things, but as far as the whole Bible in about 98 languages. We put them in all kinds of places. Hotels. You go to a hotel, open up the drawer, and you should find a Gideon New Testament, Bible. If you don't, let me know or the management know, and they will get them into. Hospitals. Most of the hospitals allow us in around here. If you go to some of the bigger ones, they don't. But usually the chaplain has them down in his room. So if you want a copy of God's Word, you ask the chaplain if you don't have one in your room, and he will make sure that you got one. Nursing home, so forth. Our biggest thing is our students in our public schools or even private schools or whatever, because that's our biggest output, and there's a reason for it. Young people are easy to reach, aren't they? You get to my age, what are they like? Old, cantankerous, bull-headed, won't listen to nothing. And that's the reason why. And so we love to go to the schools, to our colleges, to our jails even. A Gideon Bible never dies out. This is the full-size Bible. This is what we put in the motels and everything. And they get kind of ragged, but they don't ever die out. We gather them up. We'll take them to the prisons and so forth and give them out. And so it never dies. I can give you lots of testimonies about what has happened there. We give them to our fire people and our medical people, as far as our people in the armed forces. And so we put them everywhere that we can possibly put them. That's going to reach a public outreach. To give you an idea of the outreach on it, in the Middle East, they got a lot of warfare going on over there. And if you're over there, you don't just communicate or go into town like you do in New York or sometime like that. You usually kind of quarantine where you go. And so there were two fellows, Christians, who had Gideon New Testaments, something like the one I'm carrying here, and they decided, we're going to have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And so they had a Bible study, prayer meeting, grew from them two. I don't know what was the total people who went there, but over 500 of our men and women and come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior through them two little testaments, cost $1.25, $2.50. And so you ask yourself this question, what is a soul worth? Man, it's worth a whole lot. And so we do that because as a member of local churches, we try to go around to our churches, let them know what's going on. If you don't know what's going on, you can't help us out too much. And so we got to let you know on what's going on. By God's grace, last year, we took a big jump. We have put out 100 million scriptures in 1 year's time. Now, that sounds like a lot. You say, well, how many truckloads is that? I don't know. No idea, because the Gideons don't do it by the truckloads. They do it by one by one. There's approximately 190-some thousand Gideons worldwide. And I'm poor at math, but you take the math and go through that and see how many that each person has to hand out. The Gideons are like the local churches. You got some who are active, some who aren't active. And so you take the active ones who try to give out that many, and they do it. And they're looking forward to giving out more and more and more. We've got a backlog right now of 4 million scriptures, which we could have handed out last year, but we didn't have the finances to do it. And so hopefully we're going to be able to do that this year, depending on people like you and I. And so the promise of Isaiah 55:11 is fulfilled. God's word don't return to him void. It does whatever God intended for it to do. So this morning I'm going to share a few testimonies with you. And I'll do it with purpose because, like the Apostle Paul, he was an educated fellow. And I'm not educated. And so we've got two opposites on that end. But Paul always talked about himself, what God had done for him. And so I'm going to try to give testimonies on that way. I know whenever I was a young fellow, for you young people, that was a long time ago. Back in the 40s, 1940s, two guys come to my school, 1944, something like that, and they give everybody a Gideon New Testament. Now, for any of you older folks who lived back then, ain't too many of us left, is there, Cal? Not too many. But we appreciated everything that was new because you didn't get too much that was new. And so, man, that's a great thing. That became my history book. I loved history. I would go to school when I would sleep during the history class, and I'd get perfect A's. Man, I was good at that. And so it became a history book for years and years and years. Until one day, my dad and mom said, do you have to go to a revival service? I was a young fellow then, living at home. Back then, regardless of your age, if you put your feet under your dad and mom's table, they were the boss. I said, well, that's a good idea. This isn't one church thing. This is for the whole community. They probably got some new girls going there. So I think I'll check it out. 2 weeks later, I was still there, miserable. Grabbing the pew. Somebody told that preacher all about me because I had a reputation. Yeah, I did. I could outwork any man alive. I could out-eat any man alive, and I think I'm still trying to keep that reputation up a little bit. And I could out-swear any man alive. And somebody told that preacher all about me, and so this new Gideon Testament ceased to be a history book. It became a book of God who they all convicted me of my sins, and I finally come to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. Throughout the years, I have goofed up plenty of times. I'm not going to give you that because you'd say, well, how in the world are you a Gideon with a reputation like that? So I won't do that to you. But I used that. I was the first fruit of my family to come to know Christ the Lord and Savior. Then we went down to my mom and dad and brothers and sisters, and I got married, and I have five children. All of them know Christ as Lord and Savior, and most of them is in some kind of a work of the Lord. You support one of all my grandsons, missionary to Africa. I've got a couple preachers there, and short-term deals and everything like that. The pastor one time had a service. He said, it really shows up what you're like whenever you look at your grandchildren. And I never thought of it that way, but it did. What does it mean? What is a soul worth? There's a little girl sitting in a classroom, and she was looking out the window, and she said, looky, there's the guys who give me this here a little testament. Now, what did she mean by that? What had happened was that somehow, I don't know the story, but she'd gotten a Gideon New Testament, they give her, and they say children ain't very smart. They're smarter than us adults, I think. And she had four friends. And they didn't have no testament, so she took the Gospels, each one of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and tore it out and gave each one of the girls that their chapter. And each one of those girls come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. But the good news was that she looked out the window, there was them, Gideons out there giving out testaments, and wow! The good news was each one of them got a brand new testament. They got to take him home. They got to share it with their families to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in, like I said, 200 countries. Probably the hardest country to reach is this country. Some of you maybe see me up at the fairgrounds up here. We go every year up here, Brookville, hand out testaments. And we might say, well, we had a good turnout. We might go up to as high as 900 testaments given out. But you try to figure out how many young people are going through them doors, them gates. How many parents will curse and swear at you and tell you that Junior don't need one? That's just a bunch of hogwash. And so them young people, for the most part, don't go to churches. I belong to Gideon's, and I got news for you. In Jefferson County and Dubois School District, most of the churches do not have young people in them. The churches are closing down every year. It's gotten worse because the old people, the old preachers, the retirements are dying off. New ones don't want to do the job on the small churches, so they're just simply closing the door because they don't have no young people. I'm a little guilty of this because I go to them churches and I tell them to look in the mirror. The reason why their doors are closed is because of you. And we'll sit back here and this morning and say, well, gee, you know, we don't have that problem. We've got a good amount of young people here, which we do. Thank the Lord for that, you know, because they are our future. Without them, Center Hill Community Church will not go forward. We need our young people. And so you pray for them young people. You guide them young people. You instill the Word of God into them because they are our future. And I pray that Center Hill will always be a beacon on the hill, a light towards this whole community. But not all the churches are that way. Last year, we had 9 churches close their door. This year, there's been 3 or 4 close their doors already. I don't know how far down we're going to go, but pray for that. We look there, and our young people aren't going to churches. Mom and dads ain't taking them. And so we got a future generation, and it's showing up. You look at the world, this country, and see what's going on. There's so much dope and everything. The reason is because mom and pops ain't doing their job. I'm going to be blunt with you. Mom and pops ain't doing their job. And so we look around the world, and I belong to Gideon's, and I'm sharing this with you because we got a job to do. We have to get the Word of God out to the four corners of the earth. Like I said, this country's probably one of the hardest. It's the third hardest. China's number one, Europe number two, USA number three. 9 out of 10 people in this country, you can argue with me, and I argue with myself, them figures can't be right. 9 people out of 10 in this country are lost on their way to hell. I'm going to talk about a mission field to 200 countries. But we've got a great big mission field right outside them doors. And I'm going to urge you to get that mission field outside your doors. And I'm also going to urge you to help reach these 200 countries that we're going to be going into. And so I'm kind of hard to do this morning because Pastor said, I want you to give a Gideon message plus a sermon built right into it. Have you ever tried that, Hank? This is what I want you to do. Okay. And he didn't tell me that there ain't going to be too many people here and all that, which I'm kind of glad because if I make a boo-boo, well, you people, I won't even know about it because I ain't going to tell you. Okay, is that a deal? Okay. This little girl, she's the Bible. That's all over the world. Most of the countries that we go into, like South Africa, that's the easiest country go into, despite all the warfare that's going on too. Children will stand up and they'll hold their hands out. My grandson's over there, and he said they will travel by foot miles to get to church. And we got nice cars, and we growl if we go over there to 10 mile. Man, it cost me too much. But they're standing there, reaching out. Souls are coming to know Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior through that. And so we could go on down, down all the way. We look at, Russia. I used to be part of the Soviet Union. Until it busted down, that was a close thing to the Gideons. We reached a few in there. We snuck them in and so forth. But it's a hard thing to do. Now the doors are open. We passed out, I don't know how many millions in there. And the people there are saying, send us more. Send us more. Why? Communism is not dead. These people say, send us more because our time is short. Let us use the time that God has given us to hand out scripture to the people around this country. Because someday we won't be able to do it. Probably be in prison or worse. We don't know. And so the urgency is. There's a country, China, that's the number 100. Up until the time of the Olympics, it was a closed door as far as that goes. Gideon's tried. And so during the Olympic time, the Chinese government come to the Gideon and says, hey, how about you putting Bibles in our motels at these towns in around the Olympics? And even though we'd tried for years to get in there, we said, we just told, no, can't do. They looked at us. What mean you can't do it? You're going to have to allow us to get Gideon's camps in your country. They're the guys who's going to have to do it. We're going to have to use the local Chinese people, Christian, join the Gideons, and they're going to be the guys to do it. Well, they did. And so they went from 5 guys to, I think there's about 200 guys right now doing the job. We don't call it a Gideon country yet because we really don't know what's going to happen in that country. And so we're kind of putting that in hold. We go to our militaries, not only our own, but to all these foreign countries. And overall, we're able to give them, even to some of the heads of the government. Some countries we aren't allowed in yet. To give you an example, in the war-torn countries where we're at, Afghanistan, Iraq, well, we can't send no Gideons there. But we got military, and they get a Gideon New Testament. And we tell them, if you happen to lose that Gideon New Testament, come back and your chaplain will give you a brand spanking new one. See? More than there, it's a one way of doing the job, right? And so we get some out, and they got Christians in those countries. Part of the fact is that we got guys in them able to take what God has given them, the Gideon New Testaments, and share what's in it with them. Give me an example, a Sightsville Fair 2 years ago. We had a group of, six Chinese people from the communist China. On our booth, we give them out, and we have a sign, free Bibles. They had no idea what we were talking about, but they were just like most of us. If it's free, I want to see what it's about. So they come and ask us, what's this free Bible stuff? Two of them spoke English. So I took quite a bit of time. I explained to them. Gave each one of them a copy. The two spoke English, made a profession of faith right there. And I said, I don't understand Chinese, and they don't understand me. So it's going to be your job to take your friends and explain what God has for them in this getting New Testament. And I trust that they did. I'm not sure. But we look at their country over in the Eastern Bloc country. There is a guy come to get baptized. He was a retired military person, and they didn't know that at the time. They said, "I want to get baptized, but I don't know if you'll do it." I said, "What do you mean you don't know if you'll do it?" Well, whenever I was in the military, I took some of you and I had you executed. I took some of you and I put you in the prisons. But somebody gave me a Gideon New Testament, and now I'm a child of God. And I want to get baptized. Will you baptize me? They did. The sins are forgiven. And he became a child of God. And thank goodness, his ways were all changed. All because of the Gideon New Testaments. While we're in that part of the world, there's a nurse who got a nurse's testament. The Gideons got what they call an auxiliary, our wives, and they got a big outreach, doctor's offices and so forth, hospitals and so forth, and they're kept busy handing them out. If you don't believe me, you ask my wife back. She'll tell you how busy. Plus, they pray for us, and that's a job and a half in itself. And so this nurse had gotten the white nurse's testaments, and she read it. She came to know Christ the Lord and Savior. Her husband read it, and he came to know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. The only thing they had at that time was this Gideon New Testament, this white one, and they decided to start churches. They had about 100 churches started. I don't know how many people need church, but 100 churches started with the Gideon New Testament, one. Later on, they got more, but at that time, just one testament. How does it work? Out in Wisconsin, the Gideons out there at a college giving out testaments, standing there, and this guy, he had a pile of boxes there, handing them out like he should. This one guy came across the field, and he come up to the pile of boxes, he kicked it and swore at the guy, kicked him over the place, and took off. The guy patiently picked him up, put him in, handed it out. He had a better temper than I had, I'll tell you that right now. So, but the next year, he was at the same spot, handing out testament to the college students, and here comes the same guy across the field. He probably thought and said, "Oh boy, here comes Mr. Trouble." So here comes Mr. Trouble across, and he said, "Sir, can I have two testaments?" Guy looked at him, "Two? Yes. I apologize for my actions, what I did last year, but my roommate had a Gideon New Testament. He led me to the Lord. And I don't have no testaments, and my roommate this year is lost too, and I want two so I can lead him to the Lord also." Power of God's word. Soul is worth much. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, he mostly worked on an individual basis, one by one. I got a friend. Sometimes we'll have people from this country and other countries. We'll go into these third world countries and help the people there. For the reason why, some of them, their income in them countries is very small. We got, I think, 100 and some countries, their income is under $1,000. Some of you guys make $1,000 a week, don't you? I don't have to answer that. But and so we go and we help, and we have what we call a Bible blitz. And so he was over there. He was a shy guy. He belonged to Gideon for years, but he'd go to churches, but he never did much of anything else. And so he got a chance to go to India. And he went to India to help the people over there to hand out scripture. India is country mostly Buddhism and a part portion, and we got Muslims up there, up in the northern end, and it's getting worse all the time over there. Matter of fact, some of them went over there last year, and they all ended up in jail for a period of time for handing out scripture. But at this time, this friend of mine is over there. They had to go to this one school, but they got tied up in a traffic jam. If you go to India, they don't got right lanes and left lanes. It's cross your fingers. Dog eat dog. Hope that you can get across there before the other guy do. And they had a big accident there, and a local guy had a cell phone, called up the school and said, "We ain't going to make it there. We're tied up in traffic." The headmaster said, "Well, we will there wait on you." And so they waited. The schools aren't the nice ones like you have in Brookville or someplace like that. They're pretty common. Not too much luxury items there. And they waited there, 400 students. Waited till the Gideons got there. They got there, and the headmaster said to my friend, "Would you preach to these children? Tell them more about this man and this book, this man Jesus." Preach to these students? He did. Asked for a show of hands. It took him about a half hour. Asked for a show of hands of those who wanted to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. 380 of them raised their hands. We wanted to accept Christ as Lord and Savior in a country like that. He got a revived, I'll tell you that. And ever since then, he's been going wide open, going to conferences, speaking here and speaking there, where he was one time a shy guy. He never said much of anything. God to put a fire under him. And so that's how God uses us. We have visions. The book of Proverbs says, where you have no vision, what happens? People perish. There's a lot of churches has lost that vision. This church has that vision. I hope they will continue to use that vision, and that we will grow not only in numbers, but also in spirituality. And I would thank for each and every one of you that's willing to do this. But you could, to end it all up, probably, over in Guyana, the Gideons was over there handing out scripture to the schools. They had already gone through 300 schools, but they ran out of scriptures. They didn't have no more. And the headmaster said, "When are you coming back?" Peace in charge said, "Well, we can't tell you because we really don't know. We have to get the scriptures first to come back." The reason said that, they still had 600 schools to go yet, and they hadn't even got near home, and they ran out of scriptures. Said, "We don't know." And so that should be a heartstring to us. You know, God created each and every one of us for his purpose. His vision is that each and every one of us come to know Christ as the Lord and Savior, not just the people in Center Hill Church, but also in all these countries throughout the world. The vision is there. He wants them. It takes people. And where the Gideons come to it, we're in countries where we can't, they're all put the missionaries at. They don't allow them there because we use local people. Dumbbells are like me. You know, who's willing to go to schools, who's willing to go to the fairgrounds and do this and that. They're willing to do it. I don't know too much, but God can use me to share what God has a calling for each of us, or he's a calling for me. And I'm not here just to tell you what the Gideon's about, but I'm here also to put
that you would have a vision too. The reason there we're called Gideons. If you look at the Bible, they ended up with 300 people looking at the Midianite armies. And they had a lot of courage to face the enemy, and they won. We face a bigger, if you took your math and you look back to see how many it was and you multiply it and add or whatever, or I'll let that up to these young people to do the math on that. But you will find out that we got a bigger challenge yet. We look at the world and see how many people that we got to reach. Like the Gideons and a little 300 men had so many men they had to go against. We got more than that. But by God's power, we've been gaining and gaining and gaining on that. And so we do this for a purpose. There's over 7 billion people on this earth. Most of them are lost on their way to hell. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says what? His word will not return to him void. So we try to get to wherever we're going and to reach them. What we need from you is prayer. That's the greatest tool that we have is prayer. We come here, give you a challenge, not only for the Gideons, but for the church. We need to have you go and pray for us continuously. We also need your love gifts, whatever that you want to give. They'll be taken up the offering, and whatever you want to give is fine. We don't come here for the offering. However, we take whatever you give to us. And if you're like me, quite often, my wife don't allow me to have money, but you've got a built insert and has an envelope in there. And fellas, whenever your wife gives you a few extra bucks, you can stick it in this envelope and mail it to us. Yes, I just thought I'd throw that in as an extra. Yeah. But we need you. We need new members. Some of these young people look at me and they say, well, he fits the Gideon role. And the old geezer, pot-bellied. Now, if he just loses his hair, he'd have it made. But we need younger people, too. Somebody's going to have to take my place someday. Okay? So, if any of you get the urge to be a Gideon, or even if you don't know, let me know, and we'll talk to you about that. And so we need, like I said, these things. Why am I up here doing this? Now, the pastor might think I'm just here to fill a pulpit. He's wrong. If I was here just to fill a pulpit, I wouldn't be giving a Gideon message. I'm here to tell you folks about the Gideons. I'm here to challenge you to be a part of this ministry in some way or the other. And I'm going to do it for a purpose. In closing, over at the mountain of Kilimanjaro, this guy was helping the local take some a scripture up to the mountain base to hand out for a Bible blitz. And he asked the local guy, how long have you been doing this for this Bible blitz? He said, oh, about a month. He said, a month? How can you be doing that for a month? You only make $300 a year, and you're taking a whole month's pay out of it to haul scripture up to at the bottom of the Mount of Kilimanjaro? His answer was very simple. The same answer I would give, too, is why am I doing this? Why do I go to fairgrounds? Why do I go to schools and everything? Lost souls. Quite simple.